Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the fact that as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance. Our inheritance includes everything we need for this life and the life to come. We have a future inheritance and a present inheritance. A present inheritance that includes stuff for this life, and a future inheritance that includes life for the that includes provision for the life to come. It's important that we understand the difference, because if you don't understand what is and isn't available to you in this life, you may have expectations that are unrealistic, or you may be looking to God to do something he has not promised to do in this life. And that sets you up for disappointment and frustration and even anger when things don't go the way you thought they should. It's important that you understand the parameters of life in a fallen world, coupled with having an eternal perspective. You have to understand that there's more to life than just this life, and the ultimate scene for the reversals of life's hardships, losses, and injustice is in the life to come. Some things do get rectified in this life, but many things do not. But that doesn't mean there is no hope, because it'll get taken care of in the life to come. Now, we've covered the fact that life in this world is a challenge for everybody. There's no such thing as a problem-free life, no matter how much God loves you, no matter how much faith you have, no matter how good you are, because this world is damaged by sin. Because of Adam's sin, we are born into a fallen race with natures that are contrary to God. We have bodies that are mortal and corruptible, which means subject to old age, sickness, and death. There's a curse of corruption in the earth itself that produces weeds, storms, natural disasters, and death everywhere you look. Satan became the god of this world, small g, when Adam surrendered his God-given authority to him in the Garden of Eden through his disobedience. Coupled with that, human beings have free will. God gave humans free will. And with free will comes not only the choices, but the consequences of the choices people make. And people regularly make choices with consequences that can and do affect our lives in negative ways, going all the way back to Adam's choice to disobey God in the Garden of Eden. We said this earlier in the week, but let me repeat it. You're going to die, and I'm going to die because of the choice that Adam made back in the Garden of Eden. You have to recognize the parameters of life in a fallen world. There's no such thing as an easy, problem-free life in this sin-cursed earth, no matter how much God loves you, no matter how good you are, no matter how much faith you have. That doesn't mean there's no help for life's trials. There's plenty of help. And we'll elaborate on that as the week goes on and next week and the week after. But you have to understand that although some issues can be resolved in this life, others may not be. And you have to deal with them as best you can, with the assurance that all will be made right in the life to come. As I said earlier, the ultimate stage for the reversals of life's pains, injustices, and losses is ahead. First in heaven, and then on this earth when it's made new, and life is finally what God intended it to be. Right now, it's not what he planned and purposed, but it will be. Now, we went through a list yesterday of what this looks like. What provision can you expect in this life, and what do you just have to sort of put up and deal with? We said food, clothing, and shelter are present provision of our inheritance. Jesus said that as we seek first the kingdom of God, those things will be provided. That doesn't mean he'll make you a millionaire. You might say, yeah, but hasn't he promised to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? When you look at that, that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The context there is he does it by his power working in us. He works in us for strength, for wisdom, for transformation, for conformity into Christ likeness, for physical health, over and above what we can think or ask. That verse is not a promise that'll make you the president of the bank with a $1 million paycheck. food, clothing, and shelter. If we seek him first and his righteousness, all those things will be added to us. Healing for our physical bodies is a present provision of our inheritance. When you read Jesus's earth ministry, he announced that the kingdom of God was at hand, and then he healed the sick and cast out devils to demonstrate what the kingdom in action looks like in a fallen world. However, you can't stop the aging process or physical death. A body that is immortal, which means beyond the touch of death, a body that is immortal and incorruptible, which means beyond the touch of corruption of any kind, sickness, corruption, infirmity, old age, death, that's not until the life to come. A lot of our troubles in this life come from choices other people make, which affect our lives. I gave these examples yesterday. If taxes go up due to choices of the government officials, maybe even ones you don't like and didn't vote for, you can't override it with your faith. But you can look to your Heavenly Father to provide what you need. Injustice and unjust choices made by government officials will be ours in the life to come, but not yet. If your company lays people off and you're the low man on the totem pole, you can't override management's decision no matter how much faith you have. That's a free will choice. But you can look to God to provide you with another job. If your son gets a divorce and his ex-wife moves the grandkids three states away and you go from seeing them weekly to seeing them once or twice a year, you can't pray away her choice. Your inheritance, your present inheritance, does not empower you to override human will or to keep the effects of their decisions away from you. But God's word gives you wisdom on how to handle and navigate through these kinds of issues. That's part of your present inheritance. Now, this is where knowledge of the big picture is so helpful. We're emphasizing that in this series. This life is not all there is, and everything we see is temporary and subject to change by the power of God, either in this life or the life to come. This awareness lightens the load of life's hardships. We've referred to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 a number of times in this series, where Paul said he called the many hardships he faced as he preached the gospel momentary and light, for these light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Momentary means that in comparison to eternity, even a lifetime of suffering is nothing. And very few people suffer their entire lifetimes. Not saying it never happens, but there are some good times thrown in with the bad times. He called them momentary and light, meaning they didn't weigh him down. It doesn't mean he liked them, because he didn't like a lot of it, but it means it didn't weigh him down. He went on to say, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything you're looking at is temporary and subject to change by the power of God, either in this life or the life to come. Now, most of life's troubles come from choices made by other people. If you examine your life, I think you'd probably agree with me. And occasionally we make boneheaded choices ourselves, but the Bible gives us some wonderful news. God is able to use human choice and cause it to serve his purposes as he works out his plan to have a family. And the Bible records numerous examples of God doing just that. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We have a written record in our hands of how God is able to use human choice, bad decisions that affect a lot of people in negative ways. He's able to use them and bring genuine good out of those circumstances, and then work eternal purposes through them as he gathers his family who's going to live with him, the family that's going to live with him forever. Now, I want to spend the rest of the week just giving you the highlights of one such example, because part of our inheritance is peace and hope. Now, we'll examine that in more detail in a week or so, but peace in the midst of trouble is your present inheritance. And hope, which is expectation of coming good, is part of your present inheritance. And that comes from understanding the parameters of life in a fallen world and understanding what God is working to do. That hope comes also from looking at real life examples of real people who lived real lives and were helped by God with present inheritance and had the hope of future inheritance. We're going to look at the story of Joseph. His whole story is recorded from Genesis 37 to chapter 50. It illustrates the present and future aspects of God's help for us and how they work together in a fallen world. Joseph is a real person. You're going to meet him in heaven. He lived a life as real as yours is, as real as mine is, and he is part of the same plan of God as we are. Now, let me just briefly summarize his story and get us to a good place to leave off. I'm not going to read it, obviously, because it's quite lengthy. But when he was 17 years old, his older brothers, who were jealous of him because he was his father's favorite, his older brothers sold him into slavery after changing their minds about killing him. He was taken as a slave to Egypt by slave traders and purchased by Potiphar. He was an officer of Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. He did well in the household until he was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife and jailed unjustly. While in prison, he rightly interpreted some dreams that were had by a baker and a butler who had worked for Pharaoh, but he got upset with them and had him jailed. He interpreted their dreams. One of the dreams predicted that the baker would be executed, and the other dream predicted that the butler would be released. Joseph asked the butler to bring his case before Pharaoh, but the man forgot Joseph for 2 whole years. But when Pharaoh had troubling dreams no one could interpret, Joseph was summoned. Joseph rightly interpreted the dreams to mean that there were 7 years of plenty ahead, followed by 7 years of famine. He advised Pharaoh to place a man in charge of preparing for the famine. Pharaoh selected Joseph, who successfully designed and implemented a food gathering and distribution program. There was plenty of food to feed Egypt and surrounding nations. Joseph's own brothers were among those who came to him for food. He eventually was reunited with his family when his father, brothers, and their wives and children moved to Egypt to live. Now, there's a tremendous amount of hope that comes from this story and understanding about the relationship between future and present.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.